Thank you, Danny, for that good selection of songs, getting us going this morning. Look at 1 Kings. Back to our text. First part of the book of 1 Kings, dealing with the transition from David to Solomon. And David gives his son a piece of advice. 1 Kings chapter 2, look at verse 2. David says, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou, Solomon, be thou strong therefore, and show thyself a man. We're dealing with the concept of manliness, the idea both in our culture and in the Bible, the idea that there is a certain greater responsibility, greater demand, greater obligation on the part of men, both in the home and in the church and in culture, that requires men to man up, to be a little bit more than, you know, their natural constitution would incline them to. I was talking just a little while ago to Lathan and said, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And of course, he naturally didn't believe that was in the Bible. There's no way, you know. But it's true. I mean, as children, we're kind of foolish, and some men never grow out of it. I'm probably one of them. Truth is, I recognize a failing on my part to play the part of a man, to be what I'm supposed to be, or in the words of the army, be all you can be. A lot of things have changed in our culture. People don't exalt manliness like they used to. In fact, you've probably heard the term manliness used in the sense of typical behavior of men, and it's a negative thing. As in, manly behavior is drinking, or manly behavior is womanizing, or manly behavior is sports and toys and things of that nature. Or manliness is something in cosmetics, you know, it's about looking manly, which I don't know what that means, looking manly. I guess it means sporting a beard or something. I'm not sure. But the idea is nowadays that manliness, the idea that men have a certain character they're supposed to aspire to, an ideal representation of what a man ought to be, and that all men aspire to reach that, and that a good selection of our society, a good amount of our society would actually, in some measure, achieve the goal so that our society would become men. Our society itself could be considered a manly society. This is not to insult women. This is not to insult the feminine graces. We all recognize that there are differences between men and women. Plenty of books have been written about it. And some of them are, you know, out there. They're really crazy. And some of them are very reasonable and sane. But our society nowadays diminishes manliness, almost tries to eliminate it, and tries to trash the cultural roles of men and women. And they'll call them the traditional roles of men and women, as if it's only bound in some written code somewhere in religion that says, or tradition that says, women have to do this, they gotta bear children and guide the house, like the Bible says, you know, or something of that nature, or women have to be secretaries, or women are nurses and men are doctors. And so the idea of that there's a difference in roles between men and women, the idea, they treat that idea as if it's not true, or that it's just based in our arbitrary imagination, that we just decided to oppress women. Somehow they found themselves bigger than women, so they oppressed them. And I'm sure there's a lot of truth to that. Men are evil. Yep. Women are stupid. I'm not joking. Men are evil and women are stupid. And you'll see that very clearly brought out in teenagers. Teenagers are evil. If they're boy teenagers, they're evil. They're after themselves. They're taking care of themselves. And you can see it in their nature. And girls believe them. for some reason, I don't know why, but... And of course, our job as parents is to make boys less evil and girls less stupid. So that they can have a normal, sane, healthy life. Amen. Uncle Johnny, after last Sunday school message, come up to me and says, you know, they already kicked you out of Mexico. What are you going to do when they kick you out of the U.S.? Where do you plan on going when they kick you out of America? Well, I tell you what, I guess I'll go to heaven. Manliness is the ideal, the character to be aspired and pursued by men, reflecting a greater responsibility on man's part as compared to women. Now, just saying something like that is offensive. Just saying that men have a greater responsibility in society, in the home, in the church, that men have a greater responsibility and have been given more than women, that's offensive because we have a false sense of equality. I'll tell you what, equality when it comes to being treated, you can say the law can treat all men equal and should treat all men equal. But the law cannot make all men equal. It would be like Alice in Wonderland's Queen of Hearts just making decrees. I decree that you're a flower. I decree that... You can't just make decrees. You can't just make a declaration just because you have a law and you say, I declare that we are all equal. It's like the book Animal Farm. I don't know if y'all were forced to read that when you were kids. I guess it's actually a pretty genius book because it's a criticism of communism. And the idea how communism went against the ideals of democracy. The truth is communism is just a carrying out to a maximum the ideals of democracy. You know that all men are created equal, created by God, endowed with their Creator, meaning that no man has a right to be above the law or outside the law, that no man has these privileges to be, say, I'm of the noble class, I'm in the aristocracy, I'm a king or I'm a prince, and so I don't have to be under the laws. No, our democracy was founded on the principle that we're all created equal and we all have to be under the same laws. That's the idea of equality under the law. But you'll remember in Animal Farm, you've got the pigs that took over the farm, and the pigs made their, you know, they put on top of the barn, they put the words, all animals are equal. It's actually funnier than you think. All animals are equal, you know, and that really is not true. Animals are not equal. But one way or the other, they say animals are equal. All animals are equal. And a little while later, when the pigs started becoming, you know, dictators and running things after their own way, they added on the line, but some are more equal than others. And if that sounds absurd, think about what God thinks about your thoughts on equality. You see, you can make a law and says, these things are equal, everybody is equal. But that doesn't make it so. And men and women are not equal. You can make a law saying, I declare that they are. All right, I'm going to say something else controversial. Women were born with a certain disadvantage in society. That is, a disadvantage in considering trying to advance your career. You have a certain disadvantage. You might not realize it, but you do. Maybe you've been taught since you were a child that, no, women have just all the same advantages as men. Sorry, sister. You have a certain disadvantage in society because God placed in you the ability to bear children. And this is necessary, folks, for the advancement of our species. It doesn't work otherwise. God is really into making things work. And I got to tell you, I'm impressed with the way God makes things work. I'm impressed with the way God set it up. The human species is highly advanced intellectually. And that requires a lot of time to prepare a child to be independent. I believe it takes around 20 years for a child to be capable of taking care of himself. Around that time, I mean, they gradually progress, and so maybe some of them are ready at 14, but the truth is, most people are pretty immature and make pretty foolish decisions before they're 20. And so, in order to raise children who can take care of themselves, and folks, the idea of a child being lost in the jungle and being raised by apes... Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Apes would have eaten it probably, but or the idea of children being shipwrecked on an island and, you know, raising themselves. Nope, sorry. It can't happen because children have to be taken care of. In the first part of their life, they have to be completely taken care of 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They have to be carried. They have to be bathed. They have to be fed. They have to be changed. And after that, they still have to be supervised all the time. You'll go to jail, parents, if you don't supervise your children. And the child will also go to jail. Well, what this requires is somebody to dedicate themselves to those children. And that's what God set up. I didn't do it, ladies. It wasn't me. I didn't say, I decree all women have to be child nurturers and taking care of us. I didn't say that. That was God. He did that. You look down at yourself and you say, God made me a certain way. This is God's decision. And you can either decide to go along with God or you can just say, no, it ain't true. And then you can make laws that say it's not true. But you were born with certain disadvantages. And let me tell you something else. Society, with the absolute endorsement of God, has made certain laws to protect women because of that. That's what marriage is about, folks, by the way. Marriage has to do with laws that protect women because of their obvious disadvantage in society. That's why we have marriage has community of property. So if a woman spends her life bearing your children and taking care of them, she is not abandoned. She is not destitute if you die or if you decide to divorce her and go off. No, she owns half of your stuff, guy. She deserves it. Absolutely, she deserves it. She ought to be protected. If she's going to spend her time doing the mothering, well, she has a right to have all of the advantages of your advancement in your career, whatever it is. And even if you're a career woman, you have certain disadvantages over men because there are certain situations where you're not going to be available. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. It's just the way it is. And that's the reason why there is a disparity in how much women make compared to men. It's not because men got together and said, let's keep them down. We have a little conspiracy theory going on here. We say, no, we're going to oppress women. That's not it. It has to do with reality, nature, reality. And stop and think about it. When a husband dies, his wife gets her pension, gets his social security, gets everything that he owns. Why? To protect them. That's what marriage is about. And that's why it's so stupid, the idea of giving homosexual sex partners the same advantages. There is no disadvantage to a man who wants to sleep around with other men. There's no social disadvantage to him. He's not having to do anything to give up anything of his own in order to help his partner. That has nothing to do with it. Marriage is the idea of marrying, of marriage laws applying to same-sex couples. It's absurd in its inherent nature. Because marriage was built to protect men, to protect women, and it also was built to protect men in their sense of paternity. Men want to know that the children that they are paying for and raising and taking care of are their own children. And that's an important thing. That's why marriage protects men also. We know the child came from the woman, but it's not easy to tell what dad they came from. And that's why marriage is built for those things. None of this applies to homosex partners. So the idea is absurd. It's all a political thing trying to force something to be true that is not true. Now, the concept of gender roles and the greater aspiration of manliness in men is proved to exist and to be reasonable by our very DNA, and it's proved to be reasonable and an obvious natural development from our DNA in our culture. There have been injustices done to women. They were oppressed. They were left out of what they should have naturally had the ability to do. And so, yes, there have been some inequalities that were not fair and not right, and some things had to be taken care of. But what I'm saying is there is gender roles. There is a difference between the genders, and this difference is found in our DNA. It's found in our culture, appropriately in our culture derived from our fundamental differences, so that there is a certain preference in our privilege, in society for men that women don't normally get. And this is universal. It's been in all the cultures since forever. Now, I'm also saying that it's also in the Bible. And it's not in the Bible incidentally, because you can hear an argument that says, well, just because something was true in the Oriental culture that God chose to reveal Himself through doesn't mean that He's endorsing everything in that Oriental culture. And I wholeheartedly agree with that statement. Orientals were weird folks, folks. They were strange. I mean, when they wanted to make a contract, they took off their shoe and handed it to them. Well, that's really strange, folks. How are you going to get home? I don't know why they did that. I don't think we ought to go to that. It's in the Bible. They take off their shoe and hand the guy their shoe. Well, wonderful. Now you got to go home and limp. And then the other guy's got this shoe. He said, what am I going to do with this? Put it up on his mantle with all the other shoes that he's taken from people because they made some kind of a rule. Or maybe they exchange shoes, and so then you're walking around with a shoe that doesn't fit. These are weird cultures, folks. That's weird. That's strange. And God is not endorsing that, saying we all have to live by that. You can try to understand it the best you can and apply whatever principles you can get out of it. But just because in the Bible we find that women, had a certain position in society doesn't mean that our society has to follow that. And that's true. That's true. You need to make sure you understand. The Bible prohibits a lot of things that we don't prohibit. The Bible prohibits you're wearing polyester, these permapress clothing. The Bible actually forbids that. Did you know that the Bible forbids you turning on a light on Saturday? Flipping that light switch on Saturday is against the Bible. It says so in the law. So, how do we know then? How do we know that the Bible is in favor of it? Well, let's see. Look at 1 Corinthians. No, I take it back. Let's go to Genesis. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I know for some of you this is not easy to absorb, and you guys might want to run me off too. Deport me from the United States, that's fine. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over everything that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Now, in case you're not sure you understand that, what that is saying is that men and women are created in the image of God. There's been a tremendous debate over what that means, because we don't know whether it means that we are triune. We have like a Trinitarian nature. We have body, soul, and spirit, and God is triune and that sort of thing. Maybe that's what it means. Maybe it means that we have a rational, intellectual capability, and that's what it means. We know right from wrong. That's what it means. You can come up with a lot of ideas what it means. Maybe it means we just kind of look like Him. Maybe God has two eyes and, two ears and that sort of thing. And I don't know that any of that is true. I don't know that any of that is what it actually means. What I do know is the fact that we were made in the image of God is that He wanted to show Himself through our creation. God is trying to express Himself. He's trying to explain Himself. And He makes us in His image to help us to understand Him. Now, however that works out, and you could have a debate over that, I'm not going to get into that. However that works out, that means we're looking at the way God created us to find out something about Himself. He's using this as a teaching tool. He created both men and women in His image in some way or another. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made He him, male and female created He them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. Well, I thought it was Adam and Eve. He called their name Adam. He created a unit, a species, a form of life, And He did that. He made this species, this form of life. He created it in a special way in His image. None of the other animals were made in His image. So whatever differences we see between humans and animals, well, that might teach us something about God. But I'm not going to get into that. That's a whole other study. Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16. Unto the woman He said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now this is God's punishment to Eve for her part in the fall. He says, because you did this, you're going to have this punishment. He said, your desire is going to be unto your husband, and he shall rule over thee. So here we have it. Women Christians might have this argument. Maybe some of you have used this argument. I don't know. Or have you read it, or perhaps. I've heard it. I've had lots of arguments with good Christian women. And they're ready to deport me. Okay? They don't necessarily agree with me. And they think that, you know, I'm misusing the Bible. I'm dead sure I'm not. It's hard to get your mind wrapped around God's way of thinking. In fact, you can make a decision, a philosophical decision, that you're going to believe the Bible. And it might take you your entire lifetime to make your brain and your actions match up to that philosophical decision. You can say, I'm going to believe the Bible. That's what I'm going to do. But then you read something the Bible said and you react, I can't take that. I can't handle it. And you will tug and twist and compress and push the Scriptures every which way, trying to avoid believing the Bible. And sometimes you'll even decide, okay, that's what the Bible says, I'm going with it. I'm going to preach it, I'm going to go with it, but I can't explain it, I don't understand it, and I don't really believe it. That's a philosophical decision to believe the Bible. And that's basically necessary for you to be saved. If you haven't philosophically decided you're going to go by the Bible, you're going to trust what God said in His Word, you're not saved, because That's the point of repentance. It's you're coming around and saying, God, I'm going to agree with you. I'll say I'm wrong and you're right. But it doesn't mean you necessarily believe it. You realize what doubt is, right? Doubt can only be in a person who believes. A person who doesn't believe can't have doubts. Only a person who believes have doubts. And that's the problem with us as Christians. We read something in the Bible and we have doubts. We resist it. We fight it. I have a feeling that on Judgment Day, we get up there before God. God is going to take us through and He's going to point us out. My word said this. And you fought it your entire life. You preached against it. You stood against it. You argued against it. You lived against it. But my word said this. All over. We're going to find out how God thinks really. And it's hard to make our minds truly absorb the way God thinks. Because we're in the flesh. We have this problem. So, understand, I'm not saying this is easy or that it matches your imagination. What I am saying is this is what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that women have a certain disadvantage in their lives because of a punishment that God gave to Eve. And before you say, well, it's not fair for all women to suffer what Eve did. Once again, you're going to have to start thinking like God thinks. All men are suffering what Adam did. Trust me, you're suffering what your parents did. You are suffering the consequences of your parents. And your parents are suffering the consequences of what you've done. You've got to understand, God's not all about fair. God is really about function, and He's really got a better idea than fair. He's got a better idea about everything, basically. If you can just bring yourself to believe what God says, it will make your transition into heaven a whole lot easier. You won't have quite so many shocking moments on the judgment day. You won't see everything you've done just burn up into a puff of smoke. All right. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 7. My proposal is that God has endorsed the concept of gender roles and the greater responsibility of men, leading us to understand what manliness is and what men are should be aspiring to. Look at 11:7. 1 Corinthians 11:7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. It's my life verse right there. I quote it to Debbie all the time. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. Amen. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. Then judging yourselves goes on, talk a few more things about how there are differences between men and women. And we'll get to those differences possibly later. The point here I'm trying to make is, God had a purpose, a reason in His way of creating us. Not just a punishment, folks. It's not just that God said, well, okay, Eve, you did this wrong, so all women are going to suffer in childbirth. That is what it says. Believe it or not, that's what it says. Women suffer in childbirth because of the sin of Eve. At least I believe that. I read it and I'm going to believe God. That's what He says. That doesn't mean God wants you to suffer in childbirth if you can get out of it. You can get your epidurals, you can knock yourself out. I don't care how you do it. I'm not making any greater statements. I'm just saying God has certain punishments that He's done. And He's caused us. The Bible says that men had to work with the sweat of their brow and that the earth was going to bring forth thorns and all kinds of curses on the earth and things like that. And wow, man, hasn't that been true? I realize you as an American haven't suffered much of that. But all throughout history, men have had it rough. Amen. Thank the Lord for our wonderful blessings. But God was serious when He talks about sin. It's a very sobering thought. God is dealing in reality here. And there are some things that happen because of the fall and that we now are suffering because of. This is normal. But I want you to know that there was already a teaching element in the creation of man and woman. God made a teaching element built into us. First of all, He wants you to understand His love for us, so He created a setup, such as marriage is, to cause a desire in men for women and a desire in women for men, so that we could understand His emotions toward us. The Bible says that as much. He says that in marriage, it's like really speaking about Christ in the church. And that marriage is just a picture, a figure of God's love for us and His desire to woo us and to court us and then to marry us and become one with us. This is tremendous teaching power. You would not really understand the love of God if God hadn't done this to us. Just try to get an ape to understand it. Or get a dog to understand the love of God. They don't understand it. But you can understand it. If God says, I love you like a father does a child, well, you get that. You understand that. But what if there were no fathers, no children? What if we were all born like amoebas? We just hatched from eggs. Well, we wouldn't understand the love of a father for a child. And then you take a human and he is raised by his father and his mother for 20 years and you see the amount of care and effort and investment that parents put in their children, and then you begin to understand why they call God Father. Well, the same thing in the roles, the gender roles. We have the active and we have the passive. We have the giving and the taking. We have the differences in their sexual counterparts. There is a difference, folks. And yes, homosexuality messes it all up. Amen. Just trashes the whole thing. And God is just sickened by it. He says, it's an abomination to me. It's detestable. It's disgusting, and it's disgusting to everybody. It's even disgusting to people who are politically on the side of the homosexual agenda. They're also disgusted by it. You can see it all the time. But I don't want to get into that. We'll never get out of there if I start going down that path. I want you to see here in 1 Corinthians 11. Notice in the very first verse I read, a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Do you see a difference between the way God created men and women and its outworking in His symbolism, so to speak? He says, we already know He made us both, men and women, in His image. He made us as a unit, as a whole. He says, I'm making the whole thing. He didn't make Adam first and then all the animals and then go around the animals trying to find a wife for Adam. You're reading that wrong. He wanted to make us different than the animals. So He looked at the comparison of the way He made the animals and He said, no, I'm going to make men different. And the woman was taken from the rib of the man and came from him and was created separately, distinctly from him, but out of part of him. And all of this is symbols, folks. This is all symbolism for Him to teach you something. All of these things have a meaning. But now here's the kicker that will have even Christian women wanting to run me out of town. The kicker is, or rather they're going to want to run Paul out of town. Says, a man indeed ought not to cover his head when he prays because of the difference in the way he was created. In other words, there is an actual practical difference in the way men and women should act in public because of the way they were created. But I don't believe that. I don't believe there is any gender role. I don't believe there's any. I think it's all just made up. It's all traditional. It's just cultural. So says many. I'm telling you, he says right here, God says through Paul, men when they pray shouldn't cover their head. That's why you'll see, you know, when there's a public prayer, men will take off their baseball caps. But a woman doesn't have to take off her baseball cap. And that's why God gave women a longer hair. Because it's an honor to her. It's a glory to her. And how is the difference? He says, men are the image of God and women... I'm sorry, men are the image and glory of God, and women are the glory of man. Now, it all depends on whether you want to be taught by the Bible. The relationship between men and women is a symbol of the relationship between God and His people. In that, there's a superior, some sort of a preference, some sort of a privilege, some sort of a distinguishing respect given to men based in reality, and that represents the glory of God as compared to us. Man, God is a genius. Woman is the glory of a man. That doesn't mean that... Well, I guess it does mean that. There's probably a whole lot of stuff in here that we're not even dealing with. But that men glory in their wives, glory in their women, glory in their beauty, glory in their tenderness, glory in their way of being. And that God glories in His church. God glories in His creation. God glories in these things. There is a symbolism there to teach us something. So what do we say? God, we don't like this. We want equality. We want everything to be equal. We want women to be treated exactly like men. And God says, well, that would mess up my beautiful masterpiece. That's going to mess stuff up. I don't agree with that. But He keeps His mouth shut. He lets you rant and rave. Or I guess now they say they roar. They say, women roar, right? I am woman, hear me roar. Sound like a scream, but it's called a roar. See me standing shore to shore, never going to be put on the floor again. You know, I heard that song back when I was in high school. Total waste of a song. You got to be careful what you wish for. You got to be careful what you want, what you fight for. Because sometimes you cause secondary effects that harm. And if nothing else, it's harming God. And even if you could say, well, God's got broad shoulders, He can handle it. And He can. You haven't intimidated God yet, folks. God still, He's going to have everything go His way. And you can make all kinds of laws decreeing that they are equal. And He says, well, yeah, but they're not. They're not equal. There's a difference. There's a tremendous difference. And there is a difference even in privilege. There is a difference even in the distinguishing respect. Because the Bible says we are to honor women as the weaker vessel. That is, we give them a special distinguishing honor as a weaker vessel. So says Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3. And that we are to give certain specific distinguishing respect, or what the Bible calls reverence, of a woman to her husband. And that this difference, this differentiation in our gender roles should be evident in our homes, should be evident in our church. Both of those most Christians agree with. And it should be evident in our society. This is where people have a problem. Even Christian women will say, yes, in the home, I agree. The Bible is pretty difficult to argue with on that. It says it pretty clear. And in the church, well, there's a lot of churches that don't agree, and they've got women pastors. Sister, whatever name is pastor. Well, the Bible is very clear on that also. So most women of any kind of a biblical perspective are going to say, yes, in the home and in the church. But in society, no. In the army, no. In job skills training, no. And I'm saying, well, why not? What's the deal? Is it this false goddess of equality that we say everything's got to be declared equal? We have to spend exactly the same amount of money on school sports for women as we do for men. It's declared. It has to be. Even though girls are a lot less interested in sports than boys are. Nope. Has to be equal. Listen, I believe girls ought to be into athletics. I think they ought to be athletic and healthy and do it. But I don't believe we ought to try to force equality on anybody. I don't believe we can. I believe it's absurd, like the Queen of Hearts declaring the sentence before the verdict. That's my decision. But that's absurd. And it is. It is absurd. So are many of the laws going around now. The law can treat all men equal, but he can't make all men equal. All right. Look at... Oh no, there was something else I wanted to point out there. It says, for the woman is not of the woman, for the man is not of the woman. That's in verse 8. But the woman of the man, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Understand the difference in their type of creation. And this is not in order so that men can be glorified.
That's right.
This is so that God can be glorified. It's so that you can understand, in the order of the way He created us, you can understand the glory of God. You can see how God is the way He is and why He is that way. And God made the differences fairly minor. Men are normally bigger than women because they don't stop growing after puberty. They keep on growing. And so they wind up getting a lot more bulk. They get taller. They get bigger. And that's not so that men would be able to glory in themselves. It's so that you can just see that God is bigger than you. That God is bigger than everything. And that God, and the reason why is God is using this as a teaching tool about Himself. You want to understand why our Bible treats God as a father and not as a mother? Now, you got Bibles. You can get a Bible that says something different. You can get a Bible that's called gender neutral. They actually have an NIV that's gender neutral. They don't say sons of God. They say children of God. Sort of. I don't know. I've never read any of those Bibles. But I've heard about them. He says Man is not of the woman. But the woman of the man, neither, in other words, which was created first, and how was she created? She's the culmination of God's creation, by the way. The crowning jewel of the creation. The very last thing He created. The very last thing before He rested. She's the masterpiece. She's the point. She's the prize. Hello, she's the prize. Men see her as a prize? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we do. Men want to take possession of the prize. That is their sexual drive. All right, she is the crowning achievement. She was created last. She was taken out of the man. What does that mean? It has a meaning. It has a meaning in our society, in our culture. It has a meaning in the church. It has a meaning in the home. It has a meaning that God wants to teach us something about how we're created, and that all of it has to do with God, not with us. It's not about whether you are being treated fairly. It's not about whether it's fair for women to get this or not to get this, whether it's fair or not. It's all about whether God is happy with His creation, whether God is satisfied that His wonderful creation is working like it's supposed to. It's really all about God. Neither was the man created for the woman. Does this mean anything to you? Man, in a generic sense, was not created for the woman. But the woman, in a generic sense, was created for the man. Now remember what I said. Your philosophical decision to believe the Bible might take a while for your actual mind to absorb and come to the point to actually agree with God. And that's fine. We're all on different milestones in that road of trying to get to believe God. It takes us a while sometimes. There are some people who think, you know, they just cannot believe that God is against using images in worship. Just cannot believe it. They've decided to believe the Bible, but they just can't believe that part. That's fine. I'm not sitting here in judgment on them. I'm just saying I've come to that point. I don't believe we should use images in worship because the Bible says not to use images. So, but whatever point you're at, I'm saying this is what God says. God says that women have a certain position. And this position is a teaching position for us to understand God. And understanding God is a more important objective than fairness in society. Now, not in America. Not in Europe. In fact, not in any nation on earth that I know of. Most people aren't interested in understanding God. If you start talking about God, they walk the other way. They're not interested. Man was not created for the woman. In fact, the Bible calls woman the help meet for the man. Not a help meet, but a help suitable for the man. A help perfectly adequately set up to help the man. So that God says, men, I've got something for you. I want you to be able to do this, whatever. And you ain't going to be able to do it alone. You're going to need help. And most women realize their men need help. It's not good for a man to be alone. We definitely need help. And that's why we have different strengths. That's why we have different capabilities. And so we can either twist that and say, well, yeah, but that was then and now is now, and we are now demanding equality in everything. We want equal pay. We want the law to declare us equal in every way. And what you've done is you've twisted God's word. You've twisted, and what you have done is you have eliminated even the encouragement for men to become manly. For men to see their responsibilities and roles in a higher esteem and say, I have to go for that. You know what it has actually produced? Worse than in any time in history. It has produced drunkenness in men. Worse than in any time in history. Drug addiction. Homelessness. Destitution. It has produced more single mom families. Because men aren't being manly. Now maybe you think that equality of the sexes is an important thing, and so what if men suffer because of it? And so what if the family suffers? So what if 49% of our children born in the United States are born out of wedlock? So what if 40% of our I don't know what a percentage. So what if a certain number of percentage of our children don't know who their father is? Never met him. I say that matters. I say God's got a better way. Now this is not a justification for men to lord it over their women. This is not a justification for men to exclude women from certain opportunities that God has opened up for them because of the wonderful technological advances of an industrial society. Wow! I am so glad that my daughters have the ability to be independent. And you don't know how good it feels to be able to tell a woman whose husband is drunk or a beatener or something of that nature, and I can tell her, look, you can make it without him. That's wonderful. Because in the Bible days, they couldn't. They simply couldn't. They had to go. The only jobs that were there were jobs that only men could handle. They were going to be abused if they weren't protected by somebody. It was a problem in those days. Even probably a couple of hundred years ago, it was a problem for us here. But now it's not that way. And I am very pleased with that. And I'm telling you, there are all kinds of things that I would love to open up to my daughters. I would love to see them advance in all those ways. And I would vote for one of them if they were running for president. I'm not against all of the advances that they can achieve. What I am against is this evil, wicked attitude that diminishes manliness and that destroys our culture because of some false concept of equality. Some idea that we have to have, we're going to trash what God has done for some ideal that you haven't even seen the end of yet. You don't even know where this is going. And homosexual marriage is just the tip of the iceberg, folks. You have no clue where this is going. Well, actually, you do. Read Genesis chapter 19. You'll know where it's going. That's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, by the way. All right, I don't have much time. I just want you to know that this difference that God has put between men and women is one of His design in order to teach us something, and it should make a difference on how you act in public. It should make a difference in how you treat each other. It should make a difference in whether a man holds the door open for a woman or not. It should make a difference on who rules. We'll get into that next week.